Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
But we shift gears now to talk about another indicator, an economic metric that does play an influence on the operations of businesses going forward, and that's inflation. Essentially, an economic metric that measures the rate at which the cost of living increases by. And sometimes it quickens, as we saw in the months following the pandemic and even now in 2021, 2 and 3. And of course, now seeing a slight soothing in that number. But what are the forecasts? What are the implications? And why does it matter? Casey Sprake, investment analyst for fixed income at Anchor Capital, joins us now to tell us more. Casey, welcome to the show.
Hi there, good evening, and thank you for having me on the show today.
I'm so excited to speak to you about the theme around inflation, but that's because I'm an economics nerd. But I do realize that as we journey through the conversation of inflation, we really do need to also make it practical for many of us as South Africans. And maybe let's just start with the conversation of inflation being stubbornly high, Casey. We thought this would only last and dissipate, what, in 2022, dissipate in 2023, but for the last year and a half, maybe even two or three, inflation has been stubborn of late.
Yes, no, 100%. You know, every month it turns out to be a little bit more of a disappointment when we're realizing it's just staying stickier. I mean, it's staying consecutively higher than the mid-band of the target range, so say 4.5% that the Reserve Bank likes to target. And I mean, numerous reasons for this. A lot of it is, you know, driven globally, but also as we well know, we've got a lot of homegrown problems here in South Africa, which is sort of feeding through to these metrics. In our country in particular, it's not so much of a demand issue in South Africa, but more of a supply side problem, which is why it's proving so difficult to get it down to more sustainable levels.
And that's a part of the geopolitics and some external drivers that contribute to this. Maybe talk us through some of those themes before we take a look at the numbers for April.
So if we look on the geopolitical sort of more external side, of course, we have, you know, the unrest that's sort of filtering through on the Middle East. This is naturally impacting the oil price and uncertainties around there as well. You know, we still see continued snarls in supply chains from COVID times that really hasn't unwound yet. And we've seen those impacts sort of filter through to a lot of the developed economies as well. You know, throughout the whole of the Eurozone, in America as well, those countries are also struggling to get CPI down to more sustainable sort of target levels. And then if we look in South Africa in particular, we have issues, of course, you know, attributed to load shedding, to the El Nino weather pattern in particular. We're seeing that, you know, cause some havoc in key sort of agricultural production areas, which is impacting, you know, input prices for a lot of our agricultural products. I mean, one of the key drivers of inflation in South Africa has been food and non-alcoholic beverages, and it continues to pull high numbers.
And very true, because we're going back to the basics, right? We need to eat, and that's what we're prioritizing. Is this also revealed in the CPI data that we see for April? Looks to have softened slightly, 5.2% year on year, but is it convincing?
Yeah, I mean, like I say, you know, it's a second consecutive month we've seen a softening, but as you mentioned, you know, 5.2% is still quite well above the 4.5% target range. Mm. And it's the sort of elements in it that, you know, remain sticky that impacts, I think, consumers like yourself and myself as well. I mean, if we look at, say, food prices and non-alcoholic beverages, that remains still, again, you know, very, very sort of stubbornly high. Mm. I mean, on average, we were looking at vegetable prices increasing, you know, by 7.4% for April. I think overall food prices are still, sitting at 4.7%, you know, from 5.1% in March. And again, first, you know, consecutive monthly decline, but consumers just aren't feeling that in their pockets. And another one that really impacts consumers is, of course, transport costs. And then those continue to tighten. Again, we saw fuel prices increase by 1.9% month on month. And the annual rate for fuel at the moment is still sitting at 9%. And that's really what's denting consumer pockets, I think, on a month-to-month basis.
Mm. I'm so intrigued because essentially this does highlight that the basket, food basket, or the goods that we can actually purchase with our money, it's actually shrinking. I look at the price of rice, eggs, condensed milk, beetroot, onions that you have here in your report. And it's quite shocking to see that these basics have shot up significantly. So interpret this for us as consumers. Is it exactly what we're witnessing when we go to the tolls and we can only purchase less for the same amount of money?
100%. I mean, I feel it myself when you look at that till slip at the end of your grocery shop, and it's shocking to see the numbers through. And the concerning element is that it's real staples that form our grocery basket, you know, things we really can't do without that are pushing high. You mentioned the price of rice and eggs. And, you know, if we look at those products, we really have become more expensive over the last year. Rice is now 26% higher. Eggs, 25%, you know, things like potatoes are sitting at 20%. And that's really, you know, sort of impacting and consumers. It's not items that you can just do without from a monthly basis. You have no choice but to sort of purchase them. And that really, you know, drives further, you know, exasperate issues across our economy.
Definitely. I'm intrigued, Casey, because my next question is, how does this interplay with interest rates?
Of course, right,
for our MPC.
No one, 100%. And our next MPC meeting is next week, Thursday, which of course comes at a very interesting time, you know, the day after we all go to the voting polls for elections. But I think if we, you know, we take a sort of a step back on the more longer term, again, you know, this latest CPI print, of course, you know, dropping down, albeit marginally, it's still a positive move for our, you know, increasingly sort of strained wallets as consumers. As I mentioned before, the figure is still some way off the SARB's target range of 4.5%. And it's really just driving that higher for longer inflation and interest rate narrative that we've seen across markets over the last couple of months. The central bank itself has remained steadfast in communicating that it will not move the policy rate lower and really, you know, sort of usher us into what we would call a rate cutting cycle until inflation is under control and sustainably hitting that target. So as a result, you know, we believe interest rates will likely remain on hold when the MPC meets next week. And we still continue to believe that any possible interest rates will only materialize towards the end of this year, if that. And will depend, of course, on the inflation outlook, both locally and abroad, and how, you know, global interest rate developments sort of progress as we go further on to the year. Yeah. Very doubtful that we will hit a cutting cycle before the US Fed does, just in order to protect the strength of the rand. So we need that to play through forward. And we still believe that when we do actually enter a cutting cycle, it'll be a very shallow one. We're looking at about 0.75% in total. And that will be in sort of increments of about 0.25%. That's what we're pricing in at the moment.
Sure. Okay. I was hoping at least 100 basis points or 125, but yeah, that would be rather aggressive because, as you state, inflation is still likely to be elevated at these levels. And what's wonderful about the job you do, focusing specifically on the fixed income space, is that this does have an interplay in terms of the, I guess, international or foreign capital that we can attract to our bond and fixed income space. Do we still look attractive in comparison to many of our global counterparts and specifically the likes of the US?
I mean, standing in now, South Africa is screaming quite cheap on the local bond markets. Of course, there's been a lot of, you know, risk premium priced in due to, you know, the elections basically sitting next week and, you know, policy uncertainty around what our government will look like as we progress into the new season. So at the moment, unfortunately, South Africa isn't screening well against our peers. You know, if you look at a lot of other sort of emerging market peers, they're standing a lot stronger than us. Just because the problems that sit within South Africa, you know, there's no simple quick fix. It's not just a change of government or policy priority, or even just, you know, load shedding, keeping the lights on. The issues within our economy are fundamental and long term, and will take a very long time to come right. And financial markets are aware of this. But again, you know, the positives, if we do see some, you know, strong policy continuity, you know, shift towards getting, you know, issues right within the economy, the international capital will follow, because Africa is still, you know, viewed as the gateway into Africa. So they're just waiting for the right enabling environment to be provided by government.
100%. I love this, Casey, because what you're actually giving us is, I guess, a clear understanding of the kind of confidence that can be bestowed upon South Africa's economy. So yes, we as South Africans might often have a very pessimistic view that is unilateral around the performance of the economy, given what we feel. But when it comes to the broader scope of things, there could be a benefit for us here. Am I understanding you correctly?
Yes, 100%. And, you know, I always like to say it's not all doom and gloom. I know on the ground for, you know, every average South African, it doesn't always feel that way. But there are things that we are getting right in the country, in the economy. And I think that's, you know, important to highlight. We are getting a handle on the electricity, you know, crisis coming through. We are getting our national debt levels under more control. We are seeing privatization in key avenues of our economy, such as, you know, the issues we've had at our major key ports and et cetera and things like that. Our terms of trade are looking more positive. We, you know, our retail in now, we're really sort of a strong commodity cycle. So we do have good things going for us. We just need the right policy enabling environments, you know, on behalf of authorities, and just continuity and, you know, lack of volatility so that in global investors feel comfortable enough to take a chance on South Africa again.
Got you. Such a pleasure speaking to you, Casey. Really appreciate it, and looking forward to the insight and in-depth analysis you'll share with us post the elections, post the MPC, and, you know, the next few reports that come out. It's an intriguing time, really, to be alive in South Africa. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. That's Casey Sprake, who's investment analyst for fixed income space at Anchor Capital, giving us the insight that we need into understanding economic data around inflation.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.